He said, take one of these silver dollars that's in this 2-foot-deep pile of money, mark one of them, throw it into the thing, now mix it up thoroughly, blindfold someone, and tell them, go find that dollar on the first try. That is the odds of one person fulfilling only eight of the prophecies about our Messiah. So he said, well, that number is big. I know it's hard to wrap your mind around, but let's go bigger. How about, I don't know, let's do 48. 48 of those. The odds of that just happening by happenstance is 1 in 1 or 10 to the 157 power. So that's a 1 followed by... He gave a visual dealing with electrons, saying that, you know, because that's such a large scale, you'd have to use something so tiny as electrons, but I don't want to talk about that because people tend to get negatively charged up when I talk about electrons, so... But basically, he said, if you wanted to take even just a smaller chunk of that, 1 to 10 to the 50th power, and lay that out in electrons, it would only cover an inch. And it would take you 12 hours a day for 19 million years to count 1 inch of that. And that's only 10 to the 50th. This is 10 to the 157th. So then he had to do it. He had to go and say, well, what about... all 456 prophecies. What are the odds of one person just happening to fulfill all these prophecies? And he started into it, and he consulted with his friends, and this wise woman came up and said, Peter, dude, once you go beyond 1 in 10 to the 50th power, it becomes not only extremely improbable, but statistically speaking, it is impossible. Impossible. 1 times 10 to the 50th is impossible. I would have gone with the 1 times 10 to the first one that we did being impossible. She said, you know what? Statistically speaking, it's not going to happen. There is no way, no how it's going to happen. So then there's people saying, well, okay, fine, you got me. It wasn't a coincidence, okay, I got you. But these guys studied these prophecies. They knew about them, so they just arranged them. You know, they purposefully arranged for these things to happen so that they could say, I'm the Messiah. Here's what Mr. Stoner's retort to those guys was. He says, how does one arrange to be born in a specific city in which his parents don't actually live? How does one arrange their own death, and specifically by crucifixion, with two others, and then arrange to have their executioners gamble for their clothing? How does one arrange to be betrayed in advance? How does one arrange to have the executioners carry out the regular practice of breaking the legs of the two victims to the guys on either side of them, but not yourself? Finally, how does one arrange to be God and escape from the grave and appear to people after having been killed? How do you arrange that? Mr. Stoner says, any man who rejects Christ as the Son of God is rejecting a fact, proved perhaps more absolutely than any other fact in the world. Any other fact in the world. Here's the cool thing. This wasn't a religious retreat where they started busting out these numbers. This was a university. And within those studies, those 600 people doing this study, there were staunch atheists. And there were staunch unbelievers who said, there is no way that this could happen. And after they did their study, they said, we got nothing. There's no way we can argue with this number. We have to believe that. He said that he's God, the Son of God. He has to be, because they looked through every single one of these prophecies. But here's the thing. They didn't just look at Scripture, because, you know, for for those English teachers in the house, if you say, I want you to define this word for me, and then you say, well, that word means that word. Well, you can't define a word using that word. So we can't just say, well, look at Scripture. Scripture right there says it. It's right there. Come on, guys, what's the matter with you? We can do that in assurance because we have faith, but a lot of people don't. And they're going to say, you're using the Bible to prove the Bible. Come on, seriously? What these guys did is they went beyond the Bible, and they went to historical record. They went to pertinent documents. They went to scrolls and scrolls and scrolls of that time, 700 years, 1,000 years, and beyond. And they said, it's there, man. It's not just in the Bible. What the Bible says is here. This stuff is completely backing up what the Word of God says. There is a book out there called Messiah in Both Testaments. It's written by Fred Meldow. And he is so certain that what he's written in this book, pointing to the fact that the Messiah is who he says he is, all the prophecies pointed to it, that his publishing company has been, since the 60s, offering a $1,000 reward to anyone who can prove that there was someone living or dead that fulfilled all these prophecies, and it wasn't Jesus. He presented this to every university on the face of the planet. And I think if I asked Sarah and Heather right now, they'd say, dude, I could really use $1,000. Back in the 60s, $1,000 was a card, right? So these people, there's no way that this offer, this reward was on the table and they didn't say, you know, I'm going to dig in. I found no proof to the contrary. Amen? So we've got the backstory, we've got the naysayers, we got all this stuff, people saying, no, that's not it. But every superhero needs a mission, amen? Same with our Savior. See, we can look at all this proof that we've been presented with and say, yeah, you know, there's no way I can say, contrary to the fact that this prophecy says, and here's Jesus, every single one of them he fulfilled. And we can agree with that, but then what are we going to do with that? What do we do with that? I'm sure there's a lot of those staunch atheists in there that said, yep, you're right, but I still don't believe in God. You know, what do you do with that? Jesus had a very specific mission in coming to that place, that cold, starry night, amen? Check it out. In Luke 19, he says this. These are the words of our Savior. He said, for the Son of Man came to do what? Seek and save the lost. And there's a reason for that, because they talked about this nemesis that, you know, he's going to steal our job. Who is his sidekick and who is his nemesis? Oh, well, I heard his nemesis was sin. And although sin in of itself is not our nemesis, because we sin because of our own foolish desires and our fleshly desires, sin is still very real. And every single person from Adam on has had to deal with sin and has been separated from God because of sin. And it says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Everybody. I have. Miss Debbie, I mean, just look at her. All. No one is exempt. There has only been one to step to the face of this earth who lived a perfect, sinless life. And that is our superhero, Jesus Christ. Amen. And further along in Romans, it says, we have this sin, and it says, for the wages of sin is death. And this isn't talking about a gruesome battle where that you duke it out, and at the very end, you die of your wounds. This is talking about eternal damnation in hell and the flames